We are actually having quite a few technological problems. Get that out of the way. That lesson from the New Testament, from 1 Corinthians 15, was astonishing. Because in it, Paul is saying to the Christians in Corinth, your hope is well founded. We've been preaching about the resurrection. There were about 500 people who saw the risen Christ before he ascended back to heaven, most of whom, he says, are still alive. In other words, you can go and talk to them. They are around. Some may be in your congregation. Some may be friends of people who you know. I can give you the details. You can go and talk. This actually happened, and this life-changing event has taken place. And Paul says, therefore, this is used for you to spread the good news. You can be confident in what you're doing. You can be confident in your vocation, whatever it might be. And we're going forward to the future in the power of Christ. And what Paul is saying is that what we're about here in the church, both here and in Corinth and everywhere, is not a dead heroes society. It's not worshipping the founder in the past. It's not looking to what Jesus always said and did. And interestingly, you'll find in the epistles and in the Acts of the Apostles, the church never says, oh, I wonder what Jesus would have done in these circumstances. It's actually, what is the Holy Spirit leading us to now? Yes, be informed with what Jesus said and did, but don't keep looking back. Start looking forward. And there in that gospel reading we have, here is Jesus calling some of his first disciples. I will make you fishers of people, he says to the fishermen. The old version, of course, it says, I will make you fishers of men, because the word in Greek means both men and women. I remember in my teenage years at home, a lady missionary having returned from, I'm not sure where, a single lady, says, of course, and we just sung this chorus, actually, and said, of course, you've got to be a little careful of this. We had this wonderful missionary convention when some famous speaker came and spoke to all of us, all assembled, mainly single lady missionaries, and taught us to sing, I will make you fishers of men. And which we thought, well, that's interesting, because we're not. And then she said, so we taught him a little rhyme that we had that went, I may be a celibate single missionary sublimating every wish. No one put us on the shelf. We climbed up here all by ourselves. And then a pause. But sometimes we come down for dusting. And then Isaiah 6, that vision of Isaiah in the temple, of God calling him. It must have been a terrifying experience in many ways. Who will go? Send me. I have touched you. I've touched your lips with this live coal from the altar. All of these are vocational sort of passages of what do we do with our lives? What is to come? Now, at this point, I was going to play a video, which is the video that comes with the last week of the Romans course, which will be on Tuesday week. And I'll not even bother to try and put the sound through it, because it will only probably go wrong. Well, all right, let's try and see what happens. See if just the sound works. And I'll tell you what it's all about. Come on.
I'm a doctor. In truth, I never have that much interest.
Right, well, it's not going to work.
I had the grades, and Mum and Dad really encouraged me to go for it. I think my parents wanted me to have a good living so I can have a nice middle-class life.
Doesn't want us to have to play that. But essentially, this is a young doctor, and the theme of the last thing of Romans is about mission into the world. And he said He was encouraged to go and become a doctor by his parents, who pushed him into it because you earn a decent amount of money, it's a respectable job, you'll be able to have a decent standard of living and everything. And so he did all that, though he said, actually all that reason, it wasn't anything that really excited him. And he wasn't all that terribly interested in medicine either, but he was clever and competent and he qualified. And his gran invited him to a meeting at their local church when there was a lady missionary who'd come back and talked about the work that they were doing in India. And he remembered his gran before that sitting, before when he was little, reading stories about what life was like of in far-off places and taking the gospel to far-off places. And he thought that this was all in the past and that was how it used to happen 100 years ago, but it doesn't happen like that now. And this lady sort of speaking to made him realise that actually it's not the same, but it really does, and that there's actually a real work to be done. And so as part of his ongoing sort of experience, he took himself on a trip out to India to see what life was like, and travelled round with various people and saw things, just as actually in this diocese, those who have been involved in our India link in the diocese of Donegal and of Karnataka Central, we have done exactly the same thing. And you see the gospel being preached, you see people being assisted, people being helped, people being prayed for, and lives being changed. And so he came back and realised that actually, yes, there was more to life than he'd realised. And he asked somebody at some point, well, they were planting new congregations in places, but they hadn't got anybody to lead them. And he said, well, how much does it cost if you want to have a pastor? And we thought, well, actually, it's not very expensive in this area of the world, but you know, £50 a month, this was a couple of years ago, would be enough for a pastor to live and feed. He thought, that's not very much at all. And so he went back home and realised that he could save some of his money and give it. It wasn't £50 a month at that point, it was a bit less than that. But he realised that he could give, he could pray, and he could be committed in many ways, that his life had more meaning. Maybe medicine wasn't the thing that really fired everything up in life, but it was a job to do, and he actually enjoyed doing it because it enabled him to offer support to other people. And which leads to the question, what will you do with your life? Or in many cases, with the rest of your life, as many of us here are in what would be called the third age. As somebody once said, it's in the waiting room before going to see God himself. Well, what will you do? Because actually, as we've discovered, life doesn't stop at retirement. Life doesn't stop when you leave school. What do you actually want to do with life? Somebody did a survey some time ago with and I've lost the reference to it, which I thought was down here, but never mind, on what people at school wanted to do, what their career wanted. And so often, the answer came by, well, I don't know what I want to do, but I want to be famous. And some of you may remember a local pop star, Lily Allen, who's actually local to Gloucester, produced a track some years ago called The Fear. And she talked about the desire of wanting to be famous in life. And actually, as the song unravels, it realised that actually being famous doesn't solve anything at all. It actually can cause more problems. And a commitment to being famous is almost a guaranteed certainty to be nothing much at all and frustrated. We can be committed to give, to pray. One of the things that I remember from, I think, my first trip to the Diocese of Donegal, which is a very rural part of South India, worship in the cathedral in Donegal, which is a splendid building, actually, a modern building, incorporating the best of Christian, Muslim and Buddhist architecture in one place, and great open space inside. And we came to the end of the service, and we'd all moved outside, and various people were having tea and coffee outside. And I looked back into the church, and there was a table sat there. And I thought, this is exactly like an awful lot of parish churches. The two church wardens, or church treasurer, were sat at the table counting the offering. But it wasn't just various banknotes that they were counting. There were two large buckets of rice. And some of the people in that congregation were so poor that they couldn't really afford to give money, but they could afford to give some rice. And that rice would be used during the week for meals for those who had absolutely nothing at all. We may think we've got very little to give, but we can give even the most trivial thing like that. What will you do with your life? Well, you might think, I'm trivial. I've got nothing much to offer. Let me introduce you to a man who lived in the 1600s and in France, although countries were a bit sort of fluid at that point. He ended up in the army in the 30 Years' War. He was wounded. He ended up doing various other jobs. And his life changed one day when, it must have been about this time of year, he was looking at a tree and realized it was bare and the buds were just starting to form. And that out of the bareness of that tree, he realized that a newly flowering tree was going to come. And that out of what he thought was the bareness of his own life, God could do something. A bare tree yet to bud. And I remember some years ago myself, and I was on a retreat at a retreat house in North Wales, and was told by my director, it's a silent retreat, to go and sit in the garden and observe the plants, and gave a few verses to think about, and then come back and tell me, tomorrow, the results of your thoughts. It wasn't put as crudely as what has God taught you. It's actually, where has your mind taken you? And I remember coming back and saying, I had a remarkable experience that was really quite helpful. It was about the time that I was retiring from active ministry. Ha-ha, that's a joke, isn't it? A paid ministry is probably the best way of describing it. And I wondered, well, what does the future hold? And I was sitting looking at the plants and realizing that as these plants, the summer plants, die, their leaves fall, they're turned into manure in the ground, and it fertilizes the next generation that comes. But actually, as it were, the end of something is not the end, it's the seed for a new beginning. Well, this person, this soldier who looked at the bare tree yet to bud, eventually joined a Cistercian monastery as a lay brother. And he was very clumsy, and he managed to drop everything in sight, but they put him in the kitchen and made him the chef. And he became quite famous for his meditations and his thoughts. And this really rough character, who was barely educated, people would come to him for advice and talk about their problems. And he would reflect on it and offer things. And one of the senior monks in the Abbey, Sartre, wrote these things down later and put them together. And this monk was known as Lawrence of the Resurrection. And the book that the senior monk wrote was The Reflections of Brother Lawrence, there in the kitchen. The practice of the presence of God. Whether he was peeling the potatoes, cutting up the meat, doing the washing up, whatever he was doing, he could be in the presence of God, and people knew that he was. And although his life might seem unfulfilled and boring and dreadful, actually God took it and transformed it. no matter how unfulfilling we feel where we are at times. Actually, God can take that. He won't make us famous, I'm sure. Well, he might. I doubt it. But actually, the life that is committed to Jesus will bear fruit in some shape or form. I want to finish with what I sometimes call the Harry Potter hymn. It's in our hymn books, and it's Teach Me My God and King. We're not going to sing it because I'm going to spring it on Charles at the last moment. Teach me my God and thing in all King, in all things thee to see, that what I do in anything, to do it as for thee. The third verse says, the third verse says, all may of thee partake, nothing can be so mean, with which this tincture for thy sake will not grow bright and clean. A servant with this clause makes drudgery divine, who sweeps a room as for thy laws, makes that and the action fine. Then that's not simply a way of saying, be content with your lowly position and the drudgery of the work you do, because God has called you to it. It's a lot more than that, because he's picking up the theme of the Philosopher's Stone. And of course, the first Harry Potter book was Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. And the Philosopher's Stone at that point, and throughout history really, and in almost every culture, was some mystical sort of a stone or artifact that could turn base metal into gold, could reveal a spiritual life, could do magical things. And it's known often as the tincture. And so when George Herbert in that hymn says, which with this tincture for thy sake will not grow bright and clean, he's saying, actually, the for thy sake turns the basest and the most humble parts of human existence into something which God has touched and brings the presence of God into our lives and into others. And it finished, the last verse of the hymn is, this is the famous stone that turneth all to gold, for that which God does touch and own cannot for less be told. What is God calling you to and me to be now and in the future? Well, I'll just leave you before our final prayer with one verse. We're all familiar, probably, with the idea of the Great Commission, but usually in our mind it's the version in Matthew, go into all the world and preach the gospel, and it all seems a bit demanding for most of us. In John's version, it's, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. And that verse you will find pinned to the door on the way out. As you are sent into the world, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. So let us pray. Lord, as you called your disciples, call us now. Open our ears to listen to you calling. Open our eyes to see you. Open our hearts to your love. Help us to hear you, to experience your presence with us, and to love you. And loving you, let us serve you, our servant King. Amen. That's what you'll find on the door on the way out, and it's got a coloured, a yellow background. You can't miss it.